Hello and welcome to the audio ministry of Pure Heart Christian Center. We are located at 12236 Southwest 128th Street near the Tamiami Airport in the Kendall area. I want to invite you now to join our lead pastor, Dennis Penton, as he dynamically shares another life-transforming message from God's Word.
He's got a couple great books, actually, but then there's also a movie, I believe it's called The Case for Christ, and talks about his conversion, where he started out as an atheist, and in fact, not just an atheist, but pretty intellectual. He was the author, actually the editor, one of the editors at the Chicago Tribune. Around that time, his wife got converted, and their marriage became a little challenging. It's always challenging when there's an unbeliever in the house. You don't have to say amen. Just take my word for it, okay? and he figured that if he can try to disprove Christ or Christianity, the resurrection, that he could get his wife back, right? And it's a great book. It's a great movie, actually, if you wanted to read it. But that's not what I really want to talk about. But in his quest to try to disprove Christianity, he wound up getting converted. Because the evidence that he found was so overwhelmingly in favor of the resurrection that he became a Christian. And not just a Christian, he became one of, I would say, evangelical churches' figureheads or leaders. From that, he wrote the book, The Case for Christ, which the movie is based on. Then he wrote a book, The Case for Creation. And then he wrote a book, The Case for Christmas. And so all the books have a general theme. But then he also wrote a book called The Case for Miracles. And there's an article that appears in Charisma Magazine. I have it here, where it's very interesting because he talks about his quest as a Christian being ambivalent towards miracles. In other words, he thought in his mind, okay, yeah, I believe that Jesus did miracles. I just don't believe miracles are for today. So he figured that he wanted to put that to the test and try to see if he can actually document some real-life healings and real-life miracles. And the article in Charisma is called The Real-Life Miracle That Absolutely Shocked This Atheist-Turned-Evangelist. And in the book he talks about, or the article actually talks about, also a part of the book, about this one particular case that completely floored him. And it was the case of a lady named Barbara Snyder. Barbara Snyder, when he started to investigate her situation, it just so happens that Barbara Snyder was diagnosed in the Mayo Clinic with multiple sclerosis. Now, if you are familiar with multiple sclerosis, you realize that is kind of an autoimmune disease that attacks the central nervous system. And instead of attacking the bad cells, it attacks the good cells. And little by little, you just start, you start losing function of, your nerve endings and you start to deteriorate. And it's, your muscles atrophy and so forth and so on. It's a very, deadly disease. And that's what she was diagnosed with. But not only was she diagnosed with it, the most fascinating case was that she survived with this disease for 30 years. And the article talks about how in her last days, she found herself in hospice care, her final days with a no resuscitation order. And the article says that she was nearly blind. Her hands and her body were curled. She had a tube in her throat to help her breathe, as well as a tube in her stomach to ensure proper nourishment. It says, and meanwhile, all her muscles had atrophied. Right. And it says, one her day, her friends called WBMI, which is the local radio station, the Christian radio station sponsored by Moody Institute. And they basically said, Barbara, please pray for Barbara. She's in her deathbed. Right. So the word got out through the radio station. People started praying. They don't know how many people started praying. They know at least 450 people started praying because they got 450 notes sent to Barbara. Right. And so her friends gathered these notes and they started to read, little notes. We're praying for you. We're praying for your family. They're making preparations for the worst. And then this is what happened on Pentecost Sunday. Her friends went to visit her and they started reading the letters from people that were praying for her. And this is what it says. It says, and as She listened. She said that she heard a male voice coming from the corner of the room. A voice that she now believes to be God's voice. Right? It says the male voice coming from the corner of the room says where there was nobody. And the male voice that she heard told her, "My child, get up and walk." Just at that very moment when she heard that voice, says she pulled the tube out of her mouth. Okay? And the first thing that she said to her friends was, "Go get my parents." As she jumped out of bed, at the moment she jumped out of bed, muscles started to return to her body. Her curled fingers began to straighten out. Her curved body began to straighten up. Okay, it says that her calves began to inflate and her once atrophied muscles began to work again. It says, and that's not all. Her feet and her fingers suddenly were straight and normal again. And her blindness, too, had been instantaneously healed. 31 years. 31 years with MS. Okay, and now she stands here completely healthy. And in the book he says, healthy to this day. He says that was the one story that absolutely convinced him. He's documented many other stories, but one of the things that he concluded in the book, also in the article, is that miracles are not only common, but they're also well documented. There are going to be times in your life when you're going to need a miracle. Might have been something that already happened. Might have been something that's going to happen. Or you may be in church today and you might think, I need a supernatural breakthrough in my life right now. And when you find yourself in that situation, okay, at first you're going to feel like the situation is seemingly overwhelming to the point of it being final. Maybe doctors have given up on you. Maybe your spouse has given up on you. Maybe your people have given up on you, but I want to tell you, don't give up. Don't give up, because God can reverse your condition no matter how far into your condition you are. You may have been in that condition for 30 years. Don't give up. Don't give up. Right? Because God can still heal. God can still deliver. God can still set free. God can still step into your room and in a male voice tell you to get up. Take the tube out of your mouth and start talking. Amen. Right? And I begin today's message with that because it was so encouraging and it so ties in with what I want to talk to you about today. And what I want to talk to you is found in 1 Samuel 17. But I want to talk to you today about what you can do when you face what seems to be insurmountable, overwhelming problems. Right now, you are probably aware. Maybe you aren't. I'm not going to assume you are, but you're probably aware a little bit about David's background. Thank you for Mariella giving us such a great talk on David. 2 weeks ago, David, well, as just so happens, we're going through the Bible. David was anointed to be king, but he's still a young lad. He's still a young, a boy. A teenager. And he still had to wait for that to come to fruition. Sometimes God gives you a promise, and sometimes God declares that you are something. But you have to wait until that, the visible manifestation of that is clear. So that's the predicament that David found himself in. He's waiting, but while he's waiting, what is he doing? He's serving King Saul. And while he's serving King Saul, he's helping Saul navigate or get through his torment. Saul was afflicted with paranoia. Saul was afflicted with anger. Saul was afflicted with fear. And he was afflicted with jealousy. And when the evil spirit tormented him, David would play for him. And the music that David would play for him would cause him to become all of a sudden calm. Right? And so we understand a little bit about that, about where that was part of David's background. But when you look at 1 Samuel 17, we're going to see one of the most beloved and fascinating stories in the Bible. And it's fascinating and beloved, rightfully so, because it's one of the most powerful truths in the Bible. And one of the most powerful truths in the Bible is that God delivers. Today's story is about God delivering. And we see that from the beginning of our Bible study a year ago. We see constantly, every now and then, we come into a story, and what do we see God do? God does what God does best. He delivers. So if you're here today, you need deliverance, you've come to a good place, and you're here at the right time. Right? And so we're going to pick up in 1 Samuel 17. Okay, and this is going to be a great story, because it's going to give you an understanding that no matter how big and how imposing and how final your situation seems, okay, it's not over until God says so. Right? If you're encountering a monumental problem, okay, you can have victory over that problem. You don't have to stay. You don't have to accept it. You don't have to stay with the status quo. God says, I have something better for you. I have something bigger for you. I have something that goes beyond what you're accepting. And that's something that we're going to learn as we look at. And we're going to pick up the story in chapter 17, verse 1. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves with Israel once again facing their arch enemy, the Philistines. Right? There are some enemies that are going to constantly attack you. The Philistines was one of those. Philistines, every now and then, they kept, you know, we've been tracing them all the way back from the book of Judges, haven't we? Okay, they've been just wreaking havoc on Israel. And sometimes there are problems that just don't go away. And you need to deal with them on the spot, okay? And God will give you peace from those particular problems. Well, the Philistines were such a group. And it says that they gathered their troops to attack Israel, verse 1 and 2, okay? And then what does Saul do? King Saul, he gathered Israel's troops. And here they are. Okay, so picture this. They are on two opposing mountains with a valley between them. And on one side are the Philistines, and on the other side are Israel's army, right? And the Bible says there's a valley between them. And it says in verse 4, all of a sudden, a giant warrior emerges from within the Philistine forces. Now watch this. Verse 4. It says, Goliath, a Philistine champion. Not just a regular Philistine. Not just a Philistine soldier. A Philistine champion. That means something. Champions are champions because they've proven it time again that they can beat other people down. So I would imagine Goliath beat plenty of people down for him to have that designated title champion, right? So Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, it says he was over 9 feet tall. Here is 9 feet. Let's see if I could do it the way I learned. Come on. Hey, we're going to get there. I can't read it that far. Right there. You see where that ends? That's his size. Come here, Jonah. Stand in front of him. Come here, Jonah. Stand in front of this thing. So look up Jonah. So here's David, and there's Goliath. 9 feet. That's a big dude. Thank you. That's a big dude. Look at the person next to you. That's a big dude. Okay. So the Bible describes. So he is by all accounts he is a giant, perhaps the tallest person in the region. Okay. In the world at that point, very very much so. And it says that he wore, verse 5, it says he wore a bronze helmet, and his bronze coat of mail weighed 125 pounds. So his armor, okay, his bronze coat, his chest piece, okay, what he wore on top, it weighed more than some of you. Not me, but some of you. Right. And this is in verse 6, he also wore bronze leg armor, and he carried a bronze javelin on his shoulder. The shaft of his spear was as heavy, as thick as a weaver's beam, tipped with an iron spearhead that weighed 15 pounds. So he had a javelin, which is kind of like a short spear used for throwing, and then he had a regular spear that had a arrowhead type head on it that weighed 15 pounds that was for close quarters combat, right? And then on top of that, he had his own sword, because we know later on David used a sword, but we won't tell you what for. Okay, but it was his sword, Right. So now you've got this big imposing giant, and check out what he says in verses 8. He basically comes out to taunt Israel, and he says, "Why should there be so much bloodshed among you, among us? Listen, this war is not good for us, okay? You kill us, we kill you, okay? Wives are crying, kids are crying. It's no good for anybody. So I'll make you a deal. You send one of your soldiers to come and fight me. If he kills me, all of us become your servants and slaves. But if I kill him, okay, then you guys become my slaves." So that was the deal. And that was the deal that Goliath kind of put forth, right? And look at what he says in verse 10. He says, "I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight me." And when Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified. Well, you know Saul's battling fear to begin with. So it's not uncommon at this point. It wouldn't be unnatural for Saul to have this response. And they were terrified and they were deeply shaken because they had their eyes on this big imposing giant. And it says that he did this for 40 days, verse 16, every morning and every evening. Now, 40 in the Bible is an interesting number because 40 is a number of a complete cycle. You see this number, you know, often. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights, a complete cycle. It, you know, Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Moses did the same. So we often encounter the number 40, and it basically means a complete cycle. So he did it. Yeah, it was actually 40 days, but there's a numerical numerical interpretation to that as well, right? And so jump to 15. It says, if you jump down to 15, you're going to find that now it's going to take us to another part of the story. Where's David while Goliath is blabbering and trash talking? Well, David is taking care of his father's sheep, right? Verse 15. And it says there in 15 that he went back and forth so he could help his father with the sheep. Where did he go back and forth from? Remember, he was taking care of Saul. And he would play for Saul, but then he would also go back. So he split his time between serving Saul in the palace and also also helping his dad with the sheep. And then in verse 17 to 24, we learn that David had three brothers in Saul's army. Right, so David's brothers are in the front lines hearing the taunting of Goliath day after day, right? And so one day, what does his father do? His father's name is Jesse, tells David, "I'm preparing some bread, I'm preparing some cheese. I want you to go to the front lines, bring back a report on how the war is. How is the battle going? Find your brothers, give them this food, find their commander, give them a little bit of this food as well." Okay, and so what happens is that David travels to where the battle is taking place, and actually we're going to that place where the battle took place in Israel, and I'm looking forward to seeing that valley. But he arrives at the battlefield, he finds his brothers, and right at the time that he finds his brothers, all of a sudden is that time of day. That time of day for what? For Goliath to come back out. So Goliath comes back out, and once again, he starts taunting them, he starts blaspheming their God, and every time he begins his trash talking, you know what the Bible says the Israelites would do? They would run for their lives. Look at the person next to you and say, "They were chickens." Yeah, we got one out here. Don't mess with him. He's my friend. Okay. So they would run like chickens. Look what it says in verse 25. And here's what they would say: "Have you seen the giant the men ask? He comes out each day to defy Israel, and the king has offered a huge reward to anyone who kills him. And he will give that man," oh, there's a reward. "He will give that man," okay, "one of his daughters for a wife." Any singles out there? Single men? Okay. "And the man's entire family will be exempted from paying taxes." Wow. That's a pretty good reward. I get to marry into the king's family, and I get exempt from paying taxes. That's a great deal. There's only a problem. Nobody's brave enough to take on the giant to try to earn that reward, right? And so Goliath is mocking the armies of Israel. And when David hears him, he's ticked. Right? We should get mad when God's name is blasphemed. We should get upset when the name of Jesus is mocked. You shouldn't be the one when they use the name of Jesus, they use the name of God in a derogatory way or a mocking way or a ridiculing way. You shouldn't be one of the ones that's laughing along with the rest of the crowd. Right? You should have righteous enough indignation to say, no, I'm not going to put up with that. I'm not going to laugh at your dirty jokes about my God. And so what happens? He saw this injustice and David got angry. And look at what he says in verse 26. He says, who is this pagan Philistine anyway? Come on. All right. Who is this pagan Philistine that you guys are allowing him to defy the armies of the living God? Right? But now, you know what happens? But now David's older brother gets mad at him. You know, there's always sibling rivalry. And the little one always gets the brunt of the teasing, right? And so all of a sudden, David's the little one. And he's getting the brunt of the teasing, but this time it's not just teasing. This time the older brother is really angry with him. And he says to him, you know, you're meddling and you're deceitful and you're proud and you're nosy. Get out. Right? But that wouldn't deter David, because look, jump to verse 31. David says, tell me about the reward again. Right? Tell me about the huge reward. Who do I marry? Which daughter? Maybe he knew who the daughter was. He worked in the palace. He might know who the daughter was. He might have known that it was, you know, Michelle, right? Her name. Eventually. You're not supposed to know that just yet. But so he might have known, like, oh, wow, okay, motivation. Listen. Men will do crazy things for love, won't they? Okay, I'm not saying that was his motivation. I don't think that was his motivation at all, because that's not what the context shows. But, you know, you imagine, right? So David finds out about the reward. When they hear that he's asking about the reward, the word gets, you know, Saul gets wind of it, and he calls for David. David presents himself before Saul. And here's what David says. Don't worry about the Philistine. I'm going to fight him. Saul's not amused. Okay? So I says, why are you wasting my time? You're wasting my time. Get out of here. You're just a kid. You're just a kid. Go back to playing the harp. Go back to attending your father's flock. That dude's a trained killer. He's an assassin. There's a reason they gave him the title champion for a reason. He will snap you like a twig. Right? But watch how David answers, because David's not going to take that answer. David answers him. Look at, jump down to verse 34. It says, I've been taking care. Let me tell you a little bit about me, he might have said to Saul. A part that you don't know. See, you know me as David the harp player, David the singer. But you may not know me as David the rescuer, as David the deliverer. So let me give you a little bit of backdrop into my story. I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats. He says, and whenever a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club. And I rescue the lamb from its mouth. And if the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and I club it to death. What are we talking about? We're talking about a side of David we don't know anything about. Listen, some of you here, you're afraid of cockroaches, you're afraid of spiders, you're afraid of mice. Listen, this little man, he's taking on lions, and he's taking on bears, and, you know, he's like, bring it on, right? He says, I've done this to both. Now watch this, because I just saw this for the first time when I was studying it in the last couple of weeks. He says, I've done this to both lions, plural, and bears. See, we often think, I always thought he killed a lion and he killed a bear. No, lions, more than one. Bears, more than one. Okay? He says, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too, because he's defied the armies of the living God. And the Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. What an amazing answer. What a phenomenal answer. He's saying, the reason I know God's going to deliver me now is because God's delivered me in the past. The reason I know God's going to heal me now is because God's healed me in the past. The reason I know God's going to set me free now is because God set me free in the past. The reason I know God's going to supply for me now is because He supplied for me in the past. The reason I'm going to take on this giant that's bigger than any bear, that's bigger than any lion that I've taken on, is because God's given me victory over those lions and over those bears in the past, and God's going to give me victory now. Right? Praise God for that. Because listen, One of the greatest things, one of the best things that you can do when you're facing a situation, okay, that's difficult, when you're facing a situation that's monumental, that's gigantic in size, one of the best things that you can do is, instead of looking and sizing up how big that thing is, remind yourself, recall all the times God has come through for you. Every time God has supplied for you, every time God has bailed you out in the past, you got to bring those back. You got to hit the rewind button on your memory and replay all those events back into how God was faithful to you, right? And so, man, David gives a great motivational speech to Saul, and he convinced Saul. He convinced Saul to go fight Goliath, right? For him to go fight Goliath. So what does Saul do? Saul takes off, or I don't know if he had it on, Saul gives him his own armor, the king's armor, okay? The king's military armor. But David's not used to this kind of clothing. David's a shepherd. He's used to a staff. Used to, you know, rocks and slings and clubs, right? He's not used to this advanced military gear, bronze breastplates and helmets and metal boots and shields and swords. He's not used to any of that, right? And so look at what he says in verse 39. He says, I can't go in these. He protested. He says, I'm not used to them. So David took them off again, and he picked up 5 smooth stones from a stream, and he put them in a shepherd bag. Shepherd bag. Okay, think about this again. What does he have? 5 stones. What does Goliath have? A spear, a javelin. He's got an armor bearer that carries his shield. He's got a sword. He's got 125 pounds of armor. Okay. And you're going to do what? All you got is a bat. All you got is a little pouch with 5 smooth stones, right? We're going to visit the stream when we go to Israel, by the way, but that's just, I digress. Okay, and he put them into a shepherd bag, and then armed only with a shepherd's staff and a sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistine. It's crazy. But it's not crazy if you have faith. It's not crazy if you know God. Now, let me just say something a little bit with this particular passage, particularly the part where David was not used to Saul's clothing. I think there's a real message in there for us. And I think the message is that you and I were all created as individuals with very unique makeup. Okay? All of us are different. We all have our unique talents, our unique skills and abilities and gifts. And you cannot copy someone else. I know that when we're young, you know, we look to certain people that we like and we try to mimic them. Listen, you have to be you. God's created you and you're a masterpiece. That's what the Bible says. You're God's masterpiece. Okay, the Leonardo da Vinci, paintings, you know, one of them can't say, I want to be like the painting of Donatello or the sculpture. No, they all are their own unique masterpieces. You are a unique masterpiece. And when you try to copy, I know this is true in my life. I know sometimes, you know, when you're starting off as a young preacher, as a young pastor, you know, there's people that gravitate to you. I like that. And after a while, I start sounding like some of those popular TV preachers. And it's like, no. Why? Well, because I like the way they sound. I like the way they are. No. You are the way you are. Be the way you are. Be the way you are because God created you to be that. And David says, I'm not comfortable with what I have. I'm not comfortable with what you're putting on me because I'm used to something different. Some of you are used to something different. And listen, that's okay because God made you to be you. And if you try to be someone else, then who's going to be you? If you won't be you, then who will be you? Sounds like Dr. Seuss. But it's true, right? It's true. You have to be you. And over here, David, he had to be himself. He had to be true to what he understood and true to what his experiences were. And so David had a special anointing, different than Saul's anointing. Remember, Saul was anointed. Saul lost his anointing. David's anointing was anointed too, but it was different. He didn't have the same skills, but that's okay, because God doesn't expect you to have the skill level of someone else in order to face the giant that's in your life right now. Right? So jump over to 31. It says, so David goes out to meet the giant, and all of a sudden, when Goliath sees this boy coming towards him, he does what many people do today. They're offended by any little thing. And he's offended. I would imagine he's offended because, well, you're making mockery of me. You're making fun of me. You're sending out, what, just a little lad to come out against me, right? And so he begins to insult David. Look at verse 43. He says, am I a dog that you would come after me with a stick? I mean, here was David dressed as what? Dressed in his usual clothes. Blue jeans, Converse shoes, and a t-shirt. And here is Goliath, you know, dressed to the tilt as a warrior, right? And it's, you know, you're coming after me. You're mocking me. You're coming. Am I a dog? You should come after me with a stick. And he says, and he cursed David by the names of his Philistine gods. And he said to David, come over here, and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals, Goliath yelled. Then David yelled back. Sometimes when the devil gets in your face, you got to get in his face. Sometimes the devil gets in your face, so you get scared, you get intimidated, you kind of back up. Oh, okay, I was just kidding, man. Okay, leader, you know, I don't want any trouble. And you back away. But sometimes you just got to get in his face, okay, and not to have a shouting match, but to get in his face with the truth. The truth prevails. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And look at how David answers. So he gave an awesome answer to Saul, convincing him to fight Goliath. But now he gives a great response to Goliath. He says in verse 45, you come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. I come to you in the name of the Lord. And look what he says. He says, today the Lord will conquer you and I will kill you. And I'm going to cut off your head. And you talked about all the birds feasting on me. No, the birds and the wild animals are going to feast on you. Okay? It says, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people. But not with sword and not with spear, not with human weapons, okay? Not with human understanding. God will rescue you. What? God will rescue you through his miraculous power. Now watch this. Because this is the Lord's battle and he will give you to us. Look at the person next to you and say, the battle belongs to God. So if you're taking notes, and you're saying, what must I do to defeat my giant? You got to understand, the battle belongs to God. The battle's not yours. That giant that's in front of you, he is not your problem. He's God's problem. Right? And so all of a sudden, David's saying, what does David say? David, bring it on, man. Bring it on. Let's go. Let's go. You want to throw down? Go? Come on. Let's go. But mind you, he's a 9-footer against a little guy here. Okay? You and I are thinking in the natural, there's absolutely no way this guy comes out of this alive, right? As you and I think about it, he's gonna snap his neck like a pencil, right? But no, he said, bring it on, and then suddenly the fight was on, right? As Goliath approached him, David ran towards him to get in range. That's a good one. Got in range, stuck it in his sling. Okay, and he started sizing up. Okay, am I at a good distance? Okay, I'm closing it in. I want to get to within 10 or 20 yards. That's my effective range. Okay, so all of a sudden he takes aim at the guy and he starts swinging that sling. And that sling, that rock is beginning to take speed. And as it gains speed and as he's taking aim, he lets it go and whoop-pow! That rock flies. Let's see where it is. That rock flies and it caught Goliath right between the eyes. Verse 49 says, the stone sank in. Sank in. That sounds pretty gory. It sank in and it says Goliath stumbled. Boom! And he fell face down to the ground. And verse 50 says, and David killed the Philistine with only a sling and a stone. And the Bible wants you to understand this part. For he had no sword. Only what he had. No special training. No special education. No resources from the U.S. military. No secret weapons. No sword. But a rock and a sling. The kid, with the touch of God in his life, overcame all odds. And he ran over to Goliath's lifeless corpse. I know it's a gory. He took out Goliath's sword, whacked him on the head, and severed Goliath's head. And the head became a trophy for all of Israel. There's an amazing story. It's an amazing story because it tells us about God's faithfulness to deliver us. And God's faithfulness to deliver us, how? When we have faith. See, we all face giants at certain times in our lives. And giants, what are giants? Giants represent problems that are bigger than life. Giants are issues and circumstances that sometimes threaten our lives. You know, Goliath was called the champion because, you know, he was threatening to destroy them. You know, giants tell us your faith is useless. Your resources are useless. Your weapons are useless. God's not going to come through for you. Right? And what do giants do? They bring to your mind all the people that have been their victims. A giant could be a malignant tumor. A giant can be cancer. A giant can be a mental disorder. A giant can be an eating disorder. A giant can be a habit that you just can't get rid of. A giant can be an addiction. A giant can be that your marriage is on the rocks and you're about to divorce. A giant can be you being in physical danger. It could be that you got a notice of deportation. It could be there's a lawsuit that's threatening you and your business. It could be that you're facing the reality of bankruptcy or foreclosure. A giant can be a lot of things. But one thing that's all in common, that all these giants have in common, is that they want you to become its slave. That was the threat of Goliath, wasn't it? Okay. And they want to reduce you to nothing. And here's how giants work. They work on our minds where we're thinking about them all the time. And so you're anxious and you're worried and you're afflicted and you're joyless, okay? And what happens is that every waking moment of the day, you're consumed with this giant in your life. What is that? You're not living as a free man. You're living as a slave. It tells you what to think. It tells you when to think it. Right? And so you're all consumed with this giant in your life, and God says, I want to set you free. I want to set you free from that giant that wants to control you. Right? And so the thing about giants is that they cause you to doubt your faith. They cause you to doubt God. God, I've been waiting on you. Lord, I've been praying about this. We're going on to day 35 and it's still going. Remember, it says 40 days. Right? God, I've been enmeshed in this thing for such a long time. Remember the story of Barbara Snyder, 30 years. And so the thing about giants is they make us think like the situation that we're in is absolutely hopeless. And so your personality becomes enmeshed in that giant of a problem. Right? And so understand this, that the problem with the giant is a mental struggle. The problem with the giant is a mental problem, right? It's a mental challenge because a lot of times it's you trying to think about whether you're going to have victory or not. And how does Satan come and play games with you? He comes and he tells you things to make you feel guilty, to make you feel ashamed, to make you feel condemned. And what does he tell you? He says, that giant's in your life. You know who brought him into your life? You did. You caused him. You created that monster. You made a series of bad decisions. And the reason that that's an addiction in your life is because you didn't know how to put the brakes on. So that's what Satan begins to tell you. He says, you're responsible for the creation of the giant. And now you have no remedy other than to grab him by the hand and walk around him wherever you go. Condemned forever. Somebody say the devil's a liar. He is. He's a liar. And you go back and forth in your mind because the battle begins and the battle continues in your mind. And the battle rages in your mind. And so you have to capture and you have to control your thoughts, because from your thoughts come the issues of life. And so you have to settle in your mind. Am I going to accept the reality of a giant in my life, or am I going to accept the reality of God enabling me to kill the giant? What did David do? Let me go over two quick steps with you and try to want to pray with you guys and pray for your miracle today. But what did David do that enabled him to defeat Goliath? He did two things. David defeated Goliath because he had the proper focus. It's the same for us. We have to have the proper focus. What does that mean, proper focus? You have to think the right thoughts. You can't be thinking fatalistically. You can't be thinking finality. You can't be thinking that it's over. You can't be thinking, I have to accept this. Right? You must continue thinking the proper thoughts. Even though, watch this. Even though, like the song says, even though I don't see it, you're working. Even though I don't feel it, you're working. Even though I don't see anything at all moving externally in the natural, I need to understand that in the spiritual realm, there are things working that I cannot see. And so you must prepare your mind for battle and think the right thoughts, but not just today because it's Sunday, not just today because Pastor Dennis is encouraging you to do so, and you're going to be encouraged for the next hour or two. You got to do it continually. You got to do it continually. No matter how long that giant lifts up his head in your life, you have to do it again and again and again. Because what happens is that when the condition doesn't improve, okay, we tend to think the worst and think that I'm just condemned to live with this thing, right? But if you're going to defeat giants, listen to me. If you're going to defeat giants, you got to think properly about giants. You got to think properly about the problem, right? Watch this. The problem was not Goliath. The problem was not Goliath. The problem was how people were thinking about Goliath, right? There were thousands of men in Israel, right? And every one of them were afraid. That's a problem, right? Because that tells me that there were thousands of men of Israel who weren't thinking the right thoughts, that they were looking at the giant through human eyes and not through God's eyes. See, when you're standing in front of the giant, okay, I look up, he looks big. Because that's a human perspective. But when I get up on a mountain, or I go up on an air balloon, or I go up on an airplane, and I look down, that giant looks mighty small. It's all about perspective, isn't it? It's all about how you see him. So how are you seeing your giant? Are you seeing him through your carnal eyes, through your earthly eyes, through your natural eyes? Yes, he's going to be big and imposing. But if you look at him through heaven's eyes, what, that thing, heaven's eyes, that giant. I'm like, well, listen. You're a giant. Bling. Because you got a different perspective. Right? And so your problem wasn't Goliath. It was the perception of Goliath. That tells me that your problem is not your real problem. Your problem is how you think about your problem. That's the problem. And when you see your problems from man's point of view, guess what happens? You run scared. You run scared, you become anxious, you become nervous, you hit the panic button, listen, and every all those negative feelings come to you. Listen, no wonder you're smoking so much weed. No wonder you're popping so many pills. No wonder you're hitting the bottle at the end of work to take the edge off so much. Why? Because you're not thinking of the problem properly. You're thinking of the problem through human eyes and not through God's eyes. You missed a good part for an amen. You missed a good part for saying good preaching, Pastor, but no, if I have to ask you for it, it doesn't count. So watch this. Because whenever there's a manifestation of fear, as was in the camp of Israel, a manifestation of fear is always an indication of a low spiritual condition. So whenever you are affected by fear and controlled by fear, that lets me know that you're not thinking about God and you're not thinking by biblical truth. You're thinking about things from human point of view and not from a divine point of view. Don't let what your human eyes see make you forget the God of miracles. So now watch this. Thank you. Okay, here's what. Faithful soul, Amy, thank you. God bless you. Okay, so watch this. Watch David's perspective, because David's perspective, he says, he understood my God is bigger, right? He says, I come to you, not with all the fancy schmancy military garb that you have on, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies. Watch what faith does, because faith does not deny the diagnosis. The diagnosis is true. That giant, he's a big old dude. That guy's a champion. Faith is not denying his championship status. But here's what faith denies. Faith denies the prognosis that giant's going to kill me. No. It's not for the giant to determine. The prognosis is in the hands of the Lord. The answer comes from God, not from what the giant says, not from what the situation declares. It comes from heaven above, right? And so watch this, because when we face problems, when we face big problems, okay, when we face giant problems, we sometimes think, and our prayer sometimes is, God, you got to get rid of this problem right away, right? But God doesn't do that. God says, I'm not going to make the problem disappear. I'm not going to make Goliath disappear. I'm going to make Goliath disappear after you face him and you fight him. I'm not going to kill all the lions in the lion's den for Daniel. I'm going to shut the mouths of lions, but I'm going to put you in the den first. Okay, I'm not going to make the fiery furnace all of a sudden shut off, okay? I'm going to put you in the fiery furnace so that you can see that my God can sustain you through whatever man may bring against you, right? So that means for us is that you have to go through things, because understand that the things that you go through are God stretching your muscles. God, I faced a lion. That's okay, because tomorrow's going to be a bear. But God is a bear. Don't, it's okay, because I'm preparing you for next week's battle of a Goliath. So today's battles, okay, really are your training grounds for future Goliaths. Right? And if you're not in the frame of mind, think about this. If you're not in the proper frame of mind, you might think that God's against you. You might think that God is chastising you. You might think, it may be chastising you, but you might think that you might think that God is judging you, and you might think that God's abandoning you. And no, God's saying, I'm not abandoning you. I'm training you, my boy. I'm training you, my girl. I'm developing your spiritual muscles, because I know something you don't know, that down in the future, down the block, you're going to face a Goliath, and you're going to need the training right now to face that Goliath down the road.
Hallelujah.
And so here's the second thing he did. So the first thing is he had a proper focus, a proper perspective. The second thing that he did to defeat Goliath is that he proper faith. Every man in Israel chose fear. Every man in Israel, listen to me. Every person in Israel that day chose to be fearful and chose to hit the panic button. Every one of them, okay, every one of them acted out of sheer human impulse. Only one had faith. I want to tell you that faith is a choice just as much as fear is a choice. So today, what are you going to choose? Fear or faith? Right? When everybody else quivered in their boots, David looked towards God. Right? Now, how was it that David was able to have such proper faith? I mean, here's a young guy. A young kid, an inexperienced. I'm going to build a case on this, and I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but one thing I'm going to go out on a limb and believe, and it's my conviction, that David became a great man of faith because he developed his relationship with God while he was shepherding. While he was alone, taking care of his father's sheep, he used that time to talk to God. And God used that time to talk to him. He used that time to learn about God. And there he learned that God loved him. And there he learned how to love God back. And when you learn to love God back, and when you learn that God loves you, listen, it doesn't matter if you're facing a giant, if you're facing a pride of lions, it doesn't matter if you're facing a she-bear, it doesn't matter what you're facing. When you are secure within God's love, you can take anything on because you know God's got your back. David understood that God had his back, but where did he learn that? He learned that in the solitude. Developing his relationship with God, letting God encourage him. Now listen to me. We're going to find out in the weeks to come. David was not a perfect guy. David messed up. David messed up big time. Right? But still the Bible describes him as a man after God's heart because he kept coming back to God. Kept coming back to God. Kept coming back to God. Kept repenting, okay, kept pouring out his heart and his life before God. And listen, and God loved that, right? When you love God the way David did, you're going to see God's hand in your life, right? When others around you are in a tizzy, are stirred into a panic, you're not going to sweat it, right? So when the day came for David to face Goliath, he was ready. He was ready because God had poured into him in his quiet time, because he had seen God's hand of protection when he faced lions and when he faced bears and when he faced probably leopards. He probably even mentioned that as well, but they would have been part of the landscape of that day. And he says, the God who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the jaws of the bear is going to deliver me from the hand of the Philistines. Don't overlook this part. Because this lets me know that your faith is greatly dependent on your past victories. Your faith for the present oftentimes can be based on how God has helped you in times past. And so whatever you're facing right now, when you look back, and you look at all the things that you've had to go through, all the struggles that you had to live with, when you look at all the challenges that you were homeless, that you were living in a car, when you know that you had no job, that you were unemployed, that your wife left you, that your husband beat you. When you have that, some of you had that story, that your father and your parents abandoned you. When you have that part of your story, but you see God's faithfulness. So when all of a sudden you're facing a Goliath, you can look back and say, I can face you because God helped me overcome those. And survive those. Now think about this. Because all that David had was a sling. It says it in the Bible, he didn't have a sword. All he had was a sling. You know what that tells me? That tells me that what you have right now is enough to defeat the Goliath in your life. You don't need to go out there and do military training. You don't need to join a paramilitary group. You don't need to go join a karate class, although if you want to join one, go ahead and give one to the ladies here. That'd be fine. Okay, but listen, no, because God says you're going to defeat Goliath. How are you going to defeat Goliath? You're going to defeat Goliath with what I've given you right now. So what you have in your life right now is enough to defeat the Goliath that's in front of you. Come on, Jesus. Come. So you know what that means? You don't need the pastor to pray for you. I will. You don't need to go all of a sudden to Atlanta, Georgia to some conference because evangelist so-and-so is going to be there with his miracle crusade. Listen, you already have what it takes. You already have it in your hands, right? And God uses that faith. God will use that faith to help you topple. Now, understand this. What is faith? Faith was not David placing his faith in the object that God gave him, which is the rock. Faith was David placing his faith in God. Notice what he tells Goliath. He says, the Lord is going to take you out, and then I'm going to kill you. So David understood it. It's a partnership. Here's what God's saying. You got to give me something to work with here. And I want to tell you something. What you're giving God to work with, you already have. You already have it. You can defeat the giant. You can defeat the problems because God's on your side. Let me ask you to stand with me. Right now, let me just be real honest with you. I know everybody has different situations that we face and that we battle. But today, if you're facing a Goliath, a problem of gigantic proportions, monumental size, I want you to come and meet me up here in the front. We're going to put a rock in your hand, figuratively speaking. We're going to pray for that miracle in your life. We're going to see God come through for you. We're going to see God come through for you. We're going to see God come through for you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, you know the giants that each person here today is facing. Come on, church. Come. Well, some of you guys come and help me pray with some of these precious people up here. Lord, you know the giants that they're facing. You know that they're facing sickness. Lord, you know that they're facing civil issues, legal issues, some of them immigration issues, some of them family issues. And Father, in the name of Jesus today, we pray that you would topple that Goliath. We pray that you would topple that giant. Thank you, Lord God. I pray that faith would rise up in their hearts, Lord. That faith would rise up in their hearts. That they would know, Lord God. That they would know that what they have is enough. They may not have much, but them with you is all that they need. You are all that they need right now, Lord God. And so I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would grant them that breakthrough. That you would grant them that deliverance. That they would see, Lord God. That they would see that manifestation of victory in their lives. Set them free, Lord, from tormenting thoughts. Set them free, Lord. Help them to think properly about these problems. Help them to correct wayward thinking. Help them to renew their minds with the mind of Christ, God. We pray deliverance. Deliverance, breakthroughs, miracles in the strong name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, God, because you are the way maker, the miracle worker. You are the one, Lord God, that's going to enable them, Lord, to see victory and see a change in their lives in the name of Jesus. Father God, God of mercy, God of all power, set free. We pray for there to be a calming of that storm. Calm that storm, Lord. Peace be still. Peace be still. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You have what you need. You may not have everything that you want, but you have everything that you need to overcome the devil, the world, the flesh, and the giants in your life. We declare, Lord God, we declare that these giants are going to topple. These giants are going to come down. You're going to grant victory, Lord. You're going to grant victory, Father, in the name of Jesus. We pray, God, for there to be mental renewal. For God's thoughts. For God's thoughts to pervade. For God's thoughts to be established. I do not want to think human thoughts about my problems. Yes, I want to know what the doctor says, but I'm not going to accept a prognosis. I'm going to accept what God says. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you so much for having joined us today for this impacting message. I trust that God has touched your life through it and stirred in you a renewed passion for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Lord is faithful, and He wants to touch your life in a powerful way. He alone can meet your deepest needs and give your life meaning, no matter what situation you may be in right now. So be encouraged, friend. Trust Him, and be assured that I will be praying for you. If you are in the Miami area and do not have a home church, why don't you come out and join us? We are near the Tamiami Airport in Kendall and located at 12236 Southwest 128th Street. Our service times are Sundays at 9 a.m. in Spanish and 11 a.m. in English. God bless you. I look forward to meeting you soon.
Well, thank you for being with us. You've been listening to Pastor Dennis Penton and the audio ministry of Pure Heart Christian Center. It is our prayer that this message has been a challenge to your heart and your life. If you would like prayer, please call the church office at 305-969-7873. We would love to have the opportunity to connect with you in prayer. For more information about us, visit our website at www.pureheartchristian.org. And also, while you're on Facebook, make sure you visit us at the Pure Heart Christian Center page and click on Like Us. Until next time, may God's Spirit bless you mightily.